Welcome to the One Thing Global Leadership Summit podcast. Hi, I'm Daniel Lim, your host. Today, we'll be discussing about the importance of the culture of prayer in the equipping of smaller saints. Thank you for joining us today again at the One Thing Global Leadership Summit podcast. Together with me is a very special friend, a co-worker, and someone who have labored for over 30 years in equipping smaller saints across the nation. And his work has actually impacted thousands of children workers, ministry workers across the nations of the earth, from Siberia all the way to the tip of Latin America. You can find the work of Lenny LaGuardia and his wife Tracy. And Lenny, thank you for joining us today.
It's a privilege to be here with you, Daniel. What an opportunity to speak into our friends.
I think our audience would love to hear a little bit of your journey. You know, I know you from almost 20 years ago, but by the time I met you, you already were full swing with decades under your belt in equipping the smaller saints. So how old were you when you started?
I was 21 years old, and I started in the vineyard at Denver, and I was moving with Tom Stipe, Pastor Tom Stipe, and John Wimber, and the Lord just broke my heart and just told me He was going to call me to a very misunderstood ministry in the body of Christ, a ministry that not very many people wanted much to do with. And then He began to, in a very short time, real quick, tell me the same Holy Spirit that was moving upon our adult congregation was to be set free among our children. So I took over a ministry that actually had 8 workers and 850 children, and we saw that ministry grow to over 2,000 children and about 700 workers. And that's where I met Mike Bickle. And then I was introduced to Malachi chapter 4, verses 4, 5, and 6. And I heard Mike speak about this turn of the father's hearts to the children. And it was just very clear that's what I was cut to do.
Yeah, I remember Mike affectionately sharing his first encounter of hearing your name and how you left a mark in his heart because you basically mobilized and convinced the whole company and people in your local church to prioritize children ministry.
That's right.
And you're still the same, Lenny. I just watch you not only mobilizing the local church, mobilizing the city.
Yeah.
And you are a man who transcends the boundary of denomination, transcend the boundary of branding and the local church. I see you serving all over the city on behalf of the forgotten little saints.
That's
you
right.
know, and that is very moving to me because sometimes we can focus on just children within the four walls of
That's
the
right.
church,
right.
but I see you just focusing on the whole entire generation inside and outside the walls of the church.
Yeah, Daniel, I think the key to children's ministry today is that we would truly look at what is the mission of the church? What are the values? What are the priorities? You know, I believe that mission governs our life and values govern our heart and priorities govern our time. And many children's ministries that are doing well, they go right after just trying to have a good service, get the children in, have something for the families. And I believe that's important because our first role is to be a servant. But I believe it goes deeper than that. When you look at what God is doing across the earth, it's very important for children's pastors, youth pastors, young adult leaders to take a look at what is the mission of that church, what is the mission of that community, and then decide to connect the children to that. Because when you connect the children to a mission and a mandate, you're equipping them. If you don't connect it to a mission and a mandate, it's somewhat babysitting them. It's somewhat childcare. It's somewhat we need to get through the service. But here and across the earth, I'm watching God in this move today just truly get hearts of leaders connected to the Great Commission. For example, take the Great Commission. Connect your children to the Great Commission, and the Holy Spirit will give you the strategies.
Well said, and this is now a good segue because what you just mentioned just now is very crucial. Strategically savvy pastor would understand that if you invest enough money and resource and friendliness in the environment of the children ministry that is safe, that is cozy, that is exciting, you can actually grow a church
That's right.
well.
That's right.
You know, getting the children stable is getting a stable adult congregation. Any strategically savvy pastor would understand that concept. But we are beyond that. We need to see the children beyond getting the adult into the front door.
Right.
They are the future of the church. They are the church now, in fact.
Absolutely.
Going into the future of the church.
Absolutely.
We have been entrusted a period of time from the time they were early childhood, let's say from the time they can say yes to Jesus, about 4 years old or so, mm-hmm. all the way to the time when they are 14 and beyond, 18, you know, the 4-14 window, the age of 4 to 14 years old, and many believe that a majority of the earth population said yes to Jesus the first time between that age of 4 and 14.
That's
and we have that window of not only getting them to say yes, but
right.
to disciple them for 10 years
right.
and get them ready for leadership in the church.
Right.
And actually, to be truthful, in today's environment, getting them ready not to fall away.
That's right.
When they join the gang of the youth
That's
or
right.
they go to college.
Right.
A lot of parents realize that it's more challenging to put their children in college than ever
right.
before. So Lenny, I want to take this as a segue that in a local church, assuming we recognize that children ministry is more than just keeping the children happy in the church so that the adult congregation can grow. Okay, and so what will be some paradigm shift and some cultural shift that is desperately needed by the local church today?
Well, I believe with all my heart that to see the paradigm shift, we need to change our patterns. Paradigm is attached to patterns. And I believe when you change a pattern, you have to change your mindset, how we think.
Who are the people that needs to be thinking about all this?
I believe it's the people in the church. It's the families. It's the leaders. It's the pastoral staff. And I have advice and counsel for leaders all over the earth where I help them get connected to their senior leadership team. Because many children's and youth ministers, they just feel that the ministry is over here and they're doing it and they're doing a good job and they don't hear from their senior team. And I want to say to leaders all across the earth that work with children and work with teens, make a way in to share your heart with your senior leadership team. Because we have three grips happening over children's ministry and youth ministry today. Number one, we have what is called the adult focus, where we have this mindset just going into church. Nobody's done anything wrong. We go into church and it's the adult focus because we believe that it's the adults that make the ministry happen.
Right.
And then we have another, I call it a stronghold, but it's the me generation, to where people don't get mobilized to a generation because their own personal needs.
They
need
go to
be,
church to meet their own needs.
That's exactly right. And we have to break that. And we have to understand that we are called to equip the children. And once they get saved between 4 and 14, it's between 8, 9, 10 years of age, and even earlier. But we need to start marking them and activating them and putting them in situations that would pray for the sick. And one of the ways we started the Children's Equipping Center here was with 18 children that were trained to go to the altar and be part of Mike Bickle's ministry team.
So you're talking about changing pattern and behavior here. So maybe on two tier, can you be more specific? From a leadership level, what kind of pattern and paradigm need to shift? And from a person who has been mobilized, who say, you know, I'm not gifted for children ministry, that may be not for me. But yet we know if we have 2,000 children, we need a few hundred
That's
people
right.
mobilized in the church to do that. And many of them think they're not qualified or they're not good enough.
I'll start with that one, Daniel, because that one's really close to my heart. Some of these other things we can change by training and equipping, and that's important. But for the person that you just described, I really believe with all my heart, they need to see ministry to the next generation as not a specialization ministry.
Right.
Everything around us tells us to work with children, teens, you have to be a specialist. No, you know what you need? You need to be accountable to your leaders and you need your testimony, because it is what Jesus did with the children when he stopped the meeting in Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. He stopped the meeting and he told the disciples to, no, don't hinder them. Let them come. What that means is our children can receive from the Lord. And so whether you're in children's ministry or not, I tell our congregation all the time and churches across the earth that, look, it's all of our role to work with the children and to pray into this and pray for our workers. And
so you would say that majority of the people in the church, except for those with clear issues, are qualified and ready for to be mobilized for this ministry.
You're staring at one right here.
Yes.
I mean, I
watch you doing it, man. Well, convincing the whole company.
Because I just believed that the Lord wanted to show the heart of the Father to the children. And for whatever reason, the church, the children, the community, and you spoke on the community, there's a generation out there that found themselves in a fatherless, futureless, and hopeless situation. And our primary role is to teach the Word and rightly divide the Word of God. But down deep within our heart, we just want to reveal the heart of the Father. That's what Jesus did. Do not hinder them, for theirs is the kingdom. That's key. We need to remove the obstacles within our children and our teens and let them walk in the ways of the Lord. And that means we need to let them take a risk. But also, I want to say that to work with children today, we call our ministry a Children's Equipping Center. Many are called children's ministries, youth ministries. We believe our primary assignment is to partner with the family and to serve the family. So we just need to change the way we think.
So any advice for leaders? They have an intention and a heart to see that the saints be equipped from their youth, from their young age. What are the things you would advise a leader who have that heart and that vision? What are the pattern and behavior that you talk about just now that needed to shift?
Well, just on my heart right now is that I believe they need to not wait for the leaders above them or around them to come and necessarily encourage them. They need to know that they are part of the same plan that pastor has when that pastor's preaching. They're in that Sunday school room, and they're in that Bible club, and they're in their neighborhood. And it's the same authority that comes from the pulpit that can come onto somebody who's working in ministry. What has helped my heart is that I would just keep my head down and keep moving and not wait to be recognized, not wait to be noticed. That I am part of the same game plan that goes on. And that is a mind shift that needs to change in the body of Christ, because we all want to have approval and we need to be accountable. I find ways to even let you know what I'm doing on a regular basis.
Yes, you're very ways good, very intentional,
Mike. And I just feel that our leaders need to walk with pastoral authority and the authority of a servant and not wait to be told, and just know that when they present the gospel to the next generation, that they're every bit as anointed and passionate as anybody else in their church.
So let's focus on one area in equipping the children, prayer. Mm-hmm. Because the One Thing Global Leadership Summit is about the culture of prayer in the church. Mm-hmm. And we want to really be attentive of how the Holy Spirit can establish a strong foundation of prayer among the younger saints. Mm-hmm. So how would you say that a pastor would say, I have a hard time even calling my adults to come to prayer meeting. How do I even install and encourage and grow the culture of prayer among the younger saints? Do you think it's actually easier than the adults?
Oh, I do. I do. And what I did here at the International House of Prayer is that I wanted to create a spiritual diet that would enhance prayer and praise and power and the prophetic. And so we took prayer and we broke it down into 5 days a week. And we teach our children and our parents and our leaders to pray 5 minutes a day with their children. For example, Monday would be praying for the heart of thanksgiving. We help our children make a list of everything that they're thankful for. And for 5 minutes, they just tell God how thankful they are for those individuals, their parents and what have you. They do that every Monday. 5 minutes every Monday for a month is 20 minutes. 20 minutes all year long is 220 minutes. Mm-hmm. So we are developing a spiritual appetite. And the mistake we make as educators and leaders and parents sometimes and ministers to the next generation is we want it all in one. We don't create the spiritual appetite. I'm way more concerned in developing a spiritual appetite so that they choose a church for their children someday. And that's the other point of what I wanted to say. We have to have a long-term vision here. We're not just ministering to the now. We're ministering to a child's heart. And the Lord says that will stick. And then that child would choose a church. Tuesday will be a heart of worship. We ask children to spend 5 minutes worshiping to their favorite song.
Just so you have a systematic,
curriculum
of discipleship.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned about working to get along with the parents to disciple the children, but you were out there on the streets in the community among many children whose parents doesn't go to church, whose parents not even home sometimes, who has very dysfunctional family. And so they obviously don't have spiritual leaders over them to lead them. How do you go in and even start off growing the culture of prayer in such a dysfunctional environment?
Well, first of all, we assess the situation with every child. We're on the streets into 7 neighborhoods, for example, here in South Kansas City and Grandview. So we assess the situation. We understand what their situation is like. And then we tell our workers that we need to create an avenue into the home. See, if you're working with children's ministry today, you have a direct avenue into that home. There's no person in the church that can get to their knees quicker for a child than those that are working with a Bible club, with a Sunday school class. So we assess the situation, and then we just make a way to keep that child coming back and help that child continue to have consistency in that child's life and teach them the Word of God, prayer, praise, power, and the prophetic. And those are the 4 pillars for our inner city that I work with: prayer, praise, power, and the prophetic. To know Him, to enjoy Him, to respond through praise, and to walk in His power. And we just keep doing it over and over and over and over. And even though a child doesn't have a family or a functional home, they do come back and they will understand the heart of the Father.
So would you?
No easy answer.
I understand. So in the context of dysfunctional homes that are broken, obviously you have the strategy that you just mentioned just now. But what about in a proper local church where there are structure, but the structure is right now, and also the culture right now is not really very vibrant in prayer. Let's put it that way, which means the prayer meeting is not well attended, and maybe some of the senior leaders don't even go to the prayer meeting. Now, is there hope for such an environment with their children within their Sunday school or their existing ministry? Is there a hope that perhaps the children ministry could be vibrant and then spark something else in the church?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what happened sort of here with us when we took 18 children and started getting them to go to the altar. You see, when Jesus said, "For theirs is the kingdom," that means they have a built-in capacity to understand the things of God. Mm. And when He said, "Don't hinder them," He said, "Don't babysit them." He said, "Let them run." So I believe there is opportunity for the children to spark that heart. For example, your take-home activity could be pray for your parents, pray for your family, pray. And that's what we do with that 30 minutes a week, 5 minutes a day, is to gain that spiritual appetite so they would have created a thirst for the things of God, which is already theirs. Daniel, it's already built inside of a child. We just need to
call it out.
Call it out, mature it, activate it, find ways in which our children can do that. Help them teach, help them preach, help them lead worship and do various things. But most importantly, give them the Word of God.
So, Lenny, I know you developed a lot of amazing, relevant resources over the years for various pastors and leaders to help them on this journey. Would you share some of those resources available? We'll post the link on the end of this podcast too.
I have all of our lessons that we are doing right now with the children over 37 years. We're posting them on ihopkc.org/cc on our resource page.
CEC stands for
Children's Equipping Center. That is correct. Children's Equipping Center. It's part of the International House of Prayer. And so we put all our resources online so that whether you're in China behind another area needing to do a Bible club, or whether you're in your local church, we have lessons, and our lessons are built around prayer, praise, power, and the prophetic. 4 pillars that truly enhance what it is that we want to do. And so those resources can be purchased. Some of them can be purchased, but our resource page is you can download our lessons for free.
Wonderful. And if there's a deacon, an elder, or a pastor standing in front of you right now, and you have 3 to 5 minutes with the pastor, and he has one very sincere and genuine question for you: Lenny, I need help. I want to see our children growing in prayer, and in a real way, I don't know where to start. Would you give me a 1, 2, 3 advice?
Yeah, I would. For 37 years, once a month, for 37 years, I've only been in 3 locations. I was in Denver, I was in Illinois, and then I came to Kansas City to help pioneer the Children's Equipping Center under the International House of Prayer. Mm-hmm. I would tell that pastor, please, please, with everything that's in you, start a 2-hour orientation, an on-ramp that it would allow people to come in to your heart and hear the Word of God and teach that every month so that the Holy Spirit can stir. The Holy Spirit can stir people who want to work with the next generation but don't have the tools. They can come and hear the heart of God for that location. Mm. It's called an on-ramp, and it's called Equipping the Smaller Saints. Mm. And we teach it every month at a certain time, and we have for 37 years because of this. And I tell that pastor, if you start everybody from the same starting point, they see the same finish line. I would say to that pastor or that elder or that leader, your heart matters to God. I want your church to have your heart and your passion for children, but you need an on-ramp, and you need a couple of hours a month in which you can draw people who have that heart into the vision. That's the first place that I would start, Daniel.
Wonderful. Lenny, it's so good to have you on this podcast.
It's great to be here with you. I love you.
I love you too, yeah. Lenny. I look forward to many years of co-laboring with you, not only in Kansas City, but around the nations of the earth. I just know that you have an international mandate. So stay tuned, because we're going to get Lenny back for another podcast. In the next podcast, we will be asking him on the journey of a smaller saints. How do we know that a smaller saints is growing in prayer, and how do we help them along the way? And that can be a smaller saints that come from a non-Christian home background, sure, or even a very godly family background. So stay tuned. When next time when we have Lenny, Lenny, we want to have you back, because I know many people will benefit from hearing this conversation. So stay tuned on this podcast. We'll see you the next time.